Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the Interstate. The last three guys to a podcast are back. I'm John Morgo alongside Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Our 63rd episode going at it on this NFL Championship Sunday. We will know who will be participating in Miami at the end of today. We already know one of the participants in said Super Bowl. That is already happened. It is in the proverbial books as the Kansas City Chiefs. Congratulations to them. They are in the Super Bowl here today.
Not going anywhere for a while.
You're a googly moogly.
As the Chiefs have defeated the Tennessee Titans. Chiefs got a big lead in that one. Tennessee kind of closed the gap a little bit, but Patrick Mahomes just too much for the Titans, and the Titans are in out of the Super Bowl. Chiefs are in. They'll play the winner of the Niners and the Packers. Niners did have a touchdown. They are up 7-0 over Green Bay as that game going on. That game will be on in the background as we do the podcast for today, so we'll be sure to update the score as we go along. So, Daniel and Leon, first of all, Derrick Henry, as much as he did bring Tennessee to this point, to this game where they just had to win to get to the Super Bowl, their Cinderella story is over. But still, to do what Tennessee has done, go on the road, defeat two good teams, New England and Baltimore, they have nothing to hang their heads about, but boy, they wanted that extra game.
Always tough to beat three of the best in the AFC, right? Always tough to beat those guys. Listen, Tennessee had a great run, especially we talked about this last week when they brought in Tannehill. It just kind of opened up everything for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was impressive. But a couple of things that Tennessee didn't do today. One, they didn't run Derrick Henry like that. They wanted to rely on Ryan Tannehill, which was fine. You know, I mean, you want to incorporate that passing game, but I think they did it a little too much.
Yeah, and you want to go ride the horse that brought you there.
Exactly. You want to take him there. He's the one that got you there.
Yeah,
you know?
And make Kansas City stop him. Yeah. Don't assume Kansas City's going
to
stop them.
Exactly. They jumped out to it was a 10-0 lead, I believe.
Yeah, they had him up 17-7.
17-7 at one point in time. So, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do, but they just couldn't hold. The defense couldn't hold, and Mahomes and company, they actually got a hold of it. And let's do something else, too. The Titans – not discrediting their victories, mm-hmm. but they got a dose of something. The Patriots came in vulnerable.
Right.
Right.
The Ravens came in
unprepared.
Thank you.
Unprepared.
Unprepared.
Okay.
The Ravens came in unprepared, right? It was Lamar Jackson and that's it. And of course, when you have an RPO kind of offense, your best friend, especially for a running quarterback, is going to be a running back, a great running back, and a tight end. You know, those are your best ones because the tight end can actually go up to the middle and make those tough catches. Andrews had a pretty decent game, but he didn't really show up. And Mark Ingram was hurt the entire way.
Right.
So that was kind of a scary thing for them. Today, listen, Andy Reid and that offense, they're on something special. And the defense made some key stops as well. So it's tough to stop one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and the weapons that he have when he has Kelsey and Hill and Williams running in the backfield and Sammy Watkins now making a touchdown. That was Sammy Watkins' first touchdown catch, I think, since week one, I think they were saying, of the NFL season. And so now he's starting to show the Sammy Watkins that we were used to seeing back in L.A., mm-hmm. you know, for the Rams. So that's an interesting element for me. Listen, Kansas City, first time in 50 years they're in the Super Bowl, man. First time in 50 years.
First time they've been in the Super Bowl since it's been called the Super Bowl.
Since it's been called the Super Bowl. You know, they won it, I think, in 70. They beat the –
Yeah, but it wasn't the Super Bowl then.
It was.
The first Super Bowl.
They defeated Super Bowl
IV. Okay.
They defeated the Minnesota Vikings.
Right. Yeah, the first Super Bowl was actually Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers, which
but
we could see
again. But it wasn't called the Super Bowl then. That's my point.
Mm.
It wasn't really called the Super Bowl until after the leagues merged.
Well, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. So it was the
but
NFL
they still
championship.
Counted. They still counted it as the Super Bowl. They didn't say Super Bowl one.
Yeah.
That was the infamous Ice Bowl. Yeah. Played with Green Bay and Kansas City with Barstar and Vince Lombardi.
Well, no, the Ice Bowl was the NFL championship game between Dallas and Green Bay.
Oh.
The winner went to the Super Bowl, right. to that first Super
Got
Bowl.
Got you. Yeah. Well, either way, that was the first Barstar number 15 for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Lombardi is the head coach.
Right.
Yep.
They end up beating the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the Packers went on to win it the next year as well.
They beat Oakland. They beat the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And then the Jets won Super Bowl three and four was Hank Strong.
Right.
And his Chiefs with Bobby Bell and all those guys on the team.
Yeah.
And think about this right here, you know, the first time in 800 games that the Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's what I was basically saying, because the first three Super Bowls were just the AFL and the NFL going at it, because they've officially merged after Super Bowl three.
Yeah. Right.
So technically the name the Super Bowl didn't come into vogue until like the early 70s.
Right.
But they still call it that. So I was just being annoyingly technical.
Right. No, nothing wrong with that. That's what we're here for.
That one. So apologize. Apologize for that.
So let's get to the annoying business of hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we got Derrick Henry, right? Is he head and shoulders the best running back in the league right now?
Yeah, he is.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what year is Derrick Henry in right now?
Second.
Second year, huh?
Yeah.
Second year. On his rookie deal.
Right.
Right.
Second year, I think. Yeah.
He's got one more year on the rookie deal. Then.
So therefore, if you're Derrick Henry, do you contact Ezekiel Elliott and ask him about his travel agent and the hotel that he stayed in Cabo?
Do you hold out?
You're a running back, because you know running backs don't have a very short shelf life in the NFL.
Everybody's having a short shelf life,
especially running backs.
Well, Luke Kuechly retired.
Luke Kuechly,
mm-hmm. That's right. You know, being 28 years old, and so I think
he had to. I mean, the concussions just really got to him. Did you see the video? It was very, very emotional to see him like that. He didn't want to do it, but he had to.
Yeah, he felt like he didn't have any choice. He was just trying to – it was his quality of life issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. So now I think everybody else is starting to get into that. It'll be and, you know, Andrew Luck, another player who left right before his time is in the 30s.
What? This is Derrick Henry's fourth season. His rookie year was 2016.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that.
Wow, yeah. He's definitely got to take a trip.
So then he's off of his rookie deal. So then, I mean, if the rookie deal is what, 3 years?
Five now.
Five years.
So he's got another year.
And then it also depends on what round. He was picked in the second round, pick number 45. I'm looking at the stats now. But somebody's gonna throw the bag at this guy.
Gonna have to.
Yeah.
So
he should not, based on his production this year.
Right.
He does not need to be making rookie money. If I'm Derrick Henry, if I'm the owner of the Titans, to prevent a news break to prevent us from talking about it over the summertime, you know, and shining a negative light on the Titans.
Yeah.
Right.
They need to go off and just get him on the phone. We need to work something out. And if I'm Derrick Henry, do you go for Ezekiel Nutt? Because, you know, Ezekiel just said, you know, he's like, hey, I did better than Ezekiel this year, and Ezekiel's making more money than me. I don't feel comfortable with that. I need 90 for the 50 or somewhere near that.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what Derrick Henry does. Let's let the dust settle. We'll wait till February for this. He's not going to do anything now. He's going to wait until after the Super Bowl. And then, yeah, I'm sure he and the Titans will get together and figure out what his intentions are. Does he want to renegotiate? Will he sit out? Will he try to just go after money, wait for that contract year? You know, it would be interesting to see what he tries to do. Again, the 49ers up over the Packers 10-0 now. So Green Bay not in control of this one. And Aaron Rodgers right now looks like the Packers are – their offensive drive has stalled. In the middle of the San Francisco field. So it looks like San Fran well on their way to getting another Super Bowl berth. But, again, still extremely early, a lot of time. But, boy, if you're a home team in this and you get the early momentum, it is very, very difficult to lose it.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting about these two matchups? These two teams met in the regular season.
Well, same with Tennessee, Kansas City.
Right.
And Tennessee beat them.
And Tennessee beat them. But that was at home.
Right.
And they blocked the field goal as time expired. They won 35-32.
Was Patrick Mahomes available that game, or was he?
Was that one of the two games that he was
No. He came back, I think, that game. But he had a game. He had a great game in that one. Led his team down the field, got him to within field goal range, but the field goal got blocked at the end. This game wasn't even close. This was a Sunday night game.
Yeah, the Niners just blessed
32-8, I believe it was.
Yeah.
49ers just absolutely crushed Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So, and hopefully that's not staying in Green Bay's brain at this point.
So, if you're Tennessee, Tannehill put up 21 for 31, 209 yards, a lot of dink and dunking. Mm-hmm. You know, two touchdowns, no picks.
Right.
To Daniel's point, if you have a moose of a running back that runs like a deer, okay?
Yeah.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah, great way.
And you have Mike Tannehill. You know, he's like the yin and the yang. All right? Now, it's safe to say that the Tennessee Titans, they pretty much, to John's point, they rode that horse all the way to the AFC Championship, and unfortunately – in this AFC Championship, it seems that they lost their identity. We didn't see 30 rushes for 190 yards this game. We just seen 19 for 69. He looked pretty pedestrian. If you're Tennessee and, you know, you see what's going on in Carolina right now, you have another moose of a quarterback, 6'5", 250 pounds, built like a linebacker of a quarterback who will run the ball. And he has an arm. Do you go off and get Cam on the phone?
Cam is going to be the sought-after quarterback.
Yeah.
But that right there, I believe, will supercharge the Titans' offense right there. I mean, that would be, you know, like when we look at Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore was another – I want to call it the Baltimore one-trick pony. But whatever they were doing got figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they got to the playoffs, there was enough tape on them. To the point that Tennessee.
Yes.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Take me to another place. Oh yeah. Remember that, 1992. It's all good.
1992?
Yes, sir.
Man, I was 8.
I was 10.
John, how old were you?
I'm not going to say anything.
But either or, Tennessee took them to another place. And that's a loser circle. Took them back home.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson was watching this game from the same place we were watching it, from home, because they were figured out. Is it on Lamar Jackson, on the coaching staff, combination, everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Adjustments were not made, not at least not in time. But either or, if you're Tennessee, and the goal is to get better.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to get better. I mean, naturally, you're like, hey, what? This like, for example, when the Falcons in the heyday of the Falcons, when the Falcons were on their tears to the playoffs, you know, we went from Michael Turner. Then you know what? The Falcons felt that despite the success, this is the time when we're talking about that. Falcons had Roddy White one side, had big Julio on the other side.
A young Julio.
A young Julio at that, who was still a factor. Had Tony Gonzalez catching passes through the middle as tight end. So we figured, okay, the Falcons like, hey, we just might be like a running back short. Let's go get Steven Jackson. You know, so – I believe that the Tennessee Titans can upgrade at quarterback because I think they can. I don't know if Tannehill will be the answer for an entire season the same way I don't feel that Nick Foles is the answer for an entire season.
Right.
I'm not shade at Nick Foles, because that Super Bowl run that he went on in the playoffs was like, I mean, he went off and figured it out. After Carson Wentz went down.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured it out quickly. But a whole season of that, once they get tape on you, it's like, but if I'm Tennessee, I'm like, man, we got this moose. Let's go get another one. We got linebackers playing running back and quarterback. Let's supercharge this thing. Let's make another run for it. If I'm Tennessee, that's the move that I make. Can they still stick with Tannehill and still get success? Why? Yeah, I believe they could. I think.
Right.
I think so. You know, I think they can. You know, I'm gonna say I think so for the same reason that I thought that Tennessee might beat the Chiefs. Might have been wrong. You know, I was just like, hey, I got tired of picking against these guys. They, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my conjecture on that. But kudos to – I got to call my uncle, too. He's a – who's in Kansas City. I have a lot of family.
Chiefs fan.
Yeah, yeah.
So one last thing on this point as far as Cam Newton is concerned. I've seen it on Facebook, and I think I mentioned it last week. There was a proposed trade. I mean, somebody had put the trade up, but that doesn't mean it is going to happen.
Right.
Where the Bengals would get, or in exchange for Cam Newton, the Bengals get Cam Newton, number one pick. What I'm trying to say is the number one pick would go to Carolina.
Okay.
Round one, pick 2020. They get Cam Newton. They get four first round picks from this year, next year, 2020, 2021, 2023. It's just something ridiculous. Then you get a fourth round pick this year and then a second round pick this year or something like that. I saw this proposed. In fact, hold on, I saved this in my phone when I saw this. Let's see. Here it is. So the Bengals would receive four first-round picks in 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023. A 2020 second-round pick, a 2020 third-round pick, and Cam Newton. The Panthers would get the number one pick.
Okay.
Which would be Joe Burrow.
Right.
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 Now, I'm going to tell you, that might happen. Who's the head coach? And who's the offensive coordinator over there now for Carolina? Matt Rhule just got that job right. For Carolina. His offensive coordinator is Brady, the one who was the offensive coordinator at LSU. He just got that job.
Okay.
I can see them pulling that play. Why not?
Yeah. Is this why not? How many more years has Cam left on his contract for them to make a trade like that?
I think two.
Yes, 2 years.
Because he signed that contract like 2 or 3 years ago, I thought. Like Bengals, after the Super Bowl run.
If the Bengals were willing to make that happen, they would have to go in there and pay that man.
But that's going to be all on – that's going to be on Cam Newton – not Cam Newton. That's going to be on the Bengals if they're willing to pull that play and say, we want to try to win now. And – or if they don't pull it, that means that they're going to go for – Joe Burrow. Andy Dalton is out of the picture in this case.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. See, the thing about it, though, for either team that gets Joe Burrow is not guaranteed that he's going to become Patrick Mahomes. Because, you know, Patrick Mahomes has weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the sense that you got A.J. Green. And, you know, Joe Burrow is not the most mobile guy.
No, he's not.
So he's going to.
But he can get out in the pocket and he can go.
Yeah,
we've seen him create some plays with his feet too.
I want to call this gentleman Johnny Manziel so bad, but different team. I mean different guy.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield. Right. Unless you're willing to Baker Mayfield it up, because they're gonna love Joe in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But will that love translate into success? In an already crazy NFC East, you know, and you know, in Carolina, you know, they had a rookie this year, but the Kyler, I'm getting my quarterback mixed up. I'm gonna call him Kyle Murray. So Kyle mm-hmm. Murray.
Mm-hmm.
What's that his name? Kyle. What's
for Arizona?
No.
Oh, for Carolina.
Carolina.
Oh, Kyle Allen.
Yeah, there you go.
There Kyle. You go.
Okay, not Kyler.
Kyler Murray is in.
Yeah,
Arizona.
He's about to be rookie of the year more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Kyle Allen. You had a rookie this year, Kyle Allen.
Yes.
If you give Kyle Allen a letter grade, what would you give him this year? He's a rookie, so you got to get
a
grade
on
him.
You got to give him a little bit of a
curve.
Yeah, a little bit of a curve. I mean, he didn't do that bad.
D plus?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Y'all give him a what? A B plus?
D.
Yeah, B. Give him
man,
a C.
Y'all being generous. I give him a C.
You give him a C?
A C at best.
Okay.
I give him a D plus.
Mm.
You know,
a D?
Yeah, D plus. Wow. 69%.
Yeah, you're gonna be a tough teacher.
You know, just you know, if you look at some of the other rookies, look at Kyler. I mean, you look at Kyler in Arizona. You know, it just I'm looking at promise. I don't expect playoffs the first year. You know, I don't expect too much success. I expect 7-9 as a rookie. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers 2009, when he got the keys to the Ferrari that was the Green Bay Packers, he went 6-10. But then the next year he went to the Super Bowl and won.
Right.
So when I look at if you're Cincinnati, if I'm Cincinnati, I go get the number one. I stick to John's plan.
Okay.
We go get Joe Burrows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go you tap the Chargers on the shoulder, because I mean the writing's all but on the wall for Tom Brady to go to the Chargers. I don't know. I just hold another comment. I don't know why you're doing that, but we're going to get Tom Brady,
right?
Which is going to be interesting. So you go get the Chargers and you get Phillip Rivers, okay. And you have Phillip Rivers mentor Joe Burrow. For a year, no matter how, you know, this can do good for Phillip Rivers if he shows promise. He can maybe go play Eli Manning it up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be another chance to redeem his career. But this gives Joe Burrow the chance to go off and, you know, learn from, you know, a 15-year average quarterback. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, to learn from somebody. And then he takes over, because do you really want to subject Joe to that type of losing, potential
that's
losing?
That's the problem. If you're the number one pick, you're going to go to – excuse me, you're going to go to a loser.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah.
Yes, and all the hopes and dreams of a franchise's fan base is going to be put on your shoulders to turn things around. And it's going to take a special kind of person to shoulder that and not go, I won't say go crazy, but not fold at the first sign of adversity. Because you know once adversity comes around, and it's going to come around because you are on a losing team, that all of that is going to be put on you. You're going to need blinders to just tune out. Basically, don't be on social media for 2 years. It's kind of where it's going to go. And it takes a special kind of person to be able to do that. Peyton Manning did it.
Right.
And in the last few years, Baker Mayfield
He's currently going through it.
Yeah, he's currently going through it. And then we had that conversation a few weeks ago about how coaching is going to be very important for Baker this season, and more importantly, he needs to stop doing those progressive ads.
Which we've seen another commercial today.
Yeah, was that the new one?
Yeah, he had a new commercial. You know,
let's be honest, they filmed all those together. They spent a week filming all those.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, that was CGI snow that was on the field at the Cleveland Stadium.
But yeah, the one he got up out of bed and walked across the 50-yard line to go turn the lights out.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So he needs to just not do that. Stay in the gym. Stay in the weight room. Hunker down with his coaches and just work out all off season. If you want to take a couple weeks as a break to get your head on straight, okay, fine. But once March 1st rolls around, you got to be solely dedicated to getting better. That's what Baker Mayfield needs to do. This is a very big season for him. He needs to change things around because, let's be honest, second year they know how to defend you, and that's what happened for Baker.
Yeah, that's what happened.
You got to put some new wrinkles in your attack. Do the things, but do them a new way, and he's going to have to adjust, and this is a big year for him where he proves that he belongs.
Yeah, because if you look at all the big-time rookies from they've made that – they kind of – there's been a lot of rookies that at quarterback that really panned out. We look at the Lamar Jackson, I believe, is definitely the poster child of that to a certain degree.
But he my point with out. Lamar is he wasn't number one pick.
He wasn't, but he panned out. It's true. The expectations.
Exactly.
Expectations.
The expectations on Lamar Jackson were nothing compared to what they are on Baker Mayfield.
Does Lamar Jackson have any commercials?
No.
Nah.
He probably will get some after this during this offseason.
Exactly.
And if he was smart, he'd do one or two, but no more than that.
Yeah. Don't get too Hollywood with it.
Exactly. That's the thing. If you're drafted in a second, third round, you're not going to – or low first like Lamar was, you're not going to have that many expectations. Remember, Baltimore had Joe Flacco.
That's true.
And Flacco was still in the prime of his career. Sure, there was just a little bit of a downturn, and then Baltimore pulled the plug and – it actually worked out for them.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So they've got great
coaching. You win
coaching.
Some, you lose some, right?
Yeah. Baltimore won. And, you know, but again, now it's going to be the Bengals. And you know that Joe Burrow, unless they get that good backup quarterback, that named backup quarterback, be right. it Phillip Rivers, be it Cam Newton, be it whomever, right. is going to have to go in there and actually win.
Win, yeah.
Or at least not stink up the joint. Let's put it that way.
Because if you're Cincinnati, why would you give up that pick?
You wouldn't, unless they give you something incredible in return for it.
It's no, you, the Cincinnati Bengals franchise is in a state of negative elevation at this point. The best thing going for you right now is to get that number one pick, and you want to start fresh. That you need a fresh start. You need. I mean,
well, again, they'll have AJ Green back healthy.
Yeah,
and that's gonna really help them.
And that provides
you got Joe Mixon. Yeah. I mean, the tools are there. You just need a quarterback.
You need a quarterback, man.
You need a quarterback. You need a line, and you need a defense.
Yeah.
That maybe not. You know, I don't want you pitching shutouts. Although that would be great, but not give up 40 points a game.
Exactly.
Give up 25. Just somewhere so you can stay in it, and that's not really all you want. All you want is your defense to keep your offense in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, Baltimore's on the, but Cincinnati's problem now is they're a very tough division.
Indeed they are.
They're maybe one that, you know, if it would be one thing if they only had one team to get over, but no, they're looking up at three very good teams. I think the Steelers are now going to be trending. Well, we'll see what happens with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh is still a big question mark.
They're a year away from needing a quarterback as well.
They might go ahead and draft one during this first round. Yeah. And just stick them there.
And stick them there.
Because, yeah. You got to wonder how many comebacks Big Ben has left in him.
Yeah. Right.
And I think they're starting to figure that out as the Niners just extended the lead 17-0 over the Green Bay Packers. And Fox just did a shot of the Green Bay bench. And I saw a lot of players with their heads down.
Already dejected. And it's 7:57 to go in the second quarter.
And they know what's coming. This game is going to get ugly in a hurry. Green Bay is going to be lucky to get the 8 points that they got in the regular season. So we're going to have the Joe Montana Steve Young Super Bowl going at it next 2 weeks down in Miami. We are the last three guys to do a podcast. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. We're talking NFL football. Again, the Chiefs are in, and of course we're all speculating as to who might go where in terms of the great hot stove league in terms of quarterbacks. I think this is going to be a season unlike any, an offseason unlike any other in terms of elite quarterback names being shuffled around. You kind of saw it a little bit last year when Joe Flacco moved to Denver. And I think you're going to see a lot more names be moved around this season. Should be good for an interesting trading situation as we head up to the NFL draft in late April down in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's going to be. When does the NFL calendar year start? Because that's when you can really start making trades.
I think it's April 1st.
April 1st. So we're going to have about 3 weeks. Yeah. Three and a half weeks before we do that.
Yeah.
When I was driving in today, Leon called me and asked me, hey, are we going to talk about what happened to the Houston Astros? And let's get into that just a little bit. The Houston Astros basically were exposed to be cheaters as they had a very elaborate, well, as much elaborate as you can when your plan involves a trash can. in terms of stealing signs, they had a camera set up in center field, a very hidden camera, and just aimed at the catcher. Signs would be relayed into the bench, and then someone smacking a trash can would be there, and then the batter would know exactly what was coming. Basically, the Astros Super Bowl victory from World Series victory from last year has basically got a giant asterisk around them. A lot of people have been fired in and of its wake. The GM of the Astros, and now three managers have been let go over at Houston, Boston, and the Mets. Carlos Beltran never even called a game for the Mets. He is out.
Yeah, and it is right. He just got hired.
Yeah, he hasn't even warmed the seat or called a joke by the Mets fans yet. This is just another black eye in baseball situation, and now baseball is just trying to contain the fallout from this. How much of a black eye is it on the Houston Astros and Major League Baseball in particular? Because basically I'm thinking of a saying. I don't remember who originally
Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb.
No, it wasn't Ty Cobb.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Okay, that's Ty Cobb. It was Ty Cobb then. All right. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And I guess he would fit in very well with what the Astros did.
And Rothstein from 1919.
Fixed it up.
He also said the only reason why – he said the only thing I won't gamble on is the weather because I can't control it.
Yes.
So, listen, they've been still signing for years since this time. I mean, you know, the only difference between, you know – yesterday and today is that there's more technology today.
And they got caught.
Yeah, and they got caught, right? But everybody's been base stealing. I mean, sign stealing.
Yeah, it's
you know
basic.
What I'm saying? It's basic. Listen, baseball was, at one point in time, baseball actually was my first love. Mm-hmm. Even over football. Even before I got to see Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders.
Mine too.
On the field.
I've been playing Little League since I was 5 years old.
I mean, it's what everybody grew up on, right? You know, we grew up on the Atlanta Braves and the 14 straight divisional titles and this and that, right? We grew up on that.
I grew up especially down here. I especially grew up as a single Padre fan.
Padres fan.
Watching Tony Gwynn. Watching the Padres give away Fred McGriff and Gary Sheffield and pretty much handed you guys National League prominence. I mean, God, I never understood why we made that trade.
And, you know, so.
I thought back. I was like, I know. Why would we do that?
It brought a scar.
Why we give up the crime dog and Gary Sheffield? Okay.
So, my thing is this. We've had to deal with drugs in the 80s, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You had the strike in 94. Then you have the steroid scandal. You have Pete Rose in the baseball, betting on baseball. I mean, you had the White Sox from 1919 blowing the World Series that year. Yep. And now this, you know. And then there's another report coming out that Black Jack McDowell said that Tony La Russa, when he was coaching the White Sox and from 79 to 86, had a sign-stealing system. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, my goodness, this is – it's coming back. Just when you thought baseball was heading in the right direction,
this happens.
It brings us back. Now we're falling back, you know. Yep. And the Houston Astros had such a great team that year, mm-hmm. you know. But somebody else did say something. Listen, if you're sign stealing, you're still supposed to throw enough heat to strike that person out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, or you're still supposed to throw that breaking ball to strike him out. Just because he's sign stealing doesn't mean that you know where it's coming. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, you still have to hit the ball.
You still got to hit the ball.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, yes, listen, I'm not condoning it. But at the same time, it's like, come on now. And then the Yankees, they came out and said, hey, man, we could have won the World Series that year.
No, you couldn't.
You went 7 games with them that year.
Right.
So, at least one of those games you could have stole from them and you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, baseball, yeah, the black eye is now permanent.
Right.
I'll tell you this now. This just put everything on over the hill, man.
Yeah, they did a poll, and 74% of people that they interviewed stated that they believe it's not just the Houston Astros that are doing this.
No.
I can believe that. They just got caught.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, do we let a light chuckle go? Do we try to romanticize this? Or do we really wag the finger at the MLB for saying, like, hey, what's going on? I mean, can you really stop this?
Right.
Well, the Houston Astros led the major leagues in batting last season. They led with a .284 average in home games. Well, actually, they were second in the league in home.
And that's where it allegedly happened.
Yeah, because it's not going to happen on the road.
Yeah,
exactly. They were .284. They're batting .284. That was second in the league. Of course, Colorado's number one.
Right.
No surprise that the Rockies are number one in that. They were fifth in the league on the road with a .265 average.
It wasn't just Beltran who lost his job. Cora from Boston lost his job because he was on the staff.
Right.
And Hinch, who's led them to the World Series.
Right.
What, two out of the last 3 years, he was on. You know, he
GM and the coach are gone.
GM and the coach are gone.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's.
You think Carlos Beltran should have been fired, or you think he should have been held? He should have been held accountable,
whole thing is this thing was player driven.
Right.
It wasn't from the top down. It wasn't A.J. Hinch saying, you guys are doing this, you guys are doing that, let's get this game. No. The players started this.
Right.
Now, immediately, when Hinch knew about it. There's no way he couldn't have known about it. He didn't right. say, okay, let's get all this crap out of it. Let's yeah. get all this out of here. He basically went along with it.
He knew about it, but the question is, how did he feel about it?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can know about something and feel some kind of way about it, but it still happened, and you still allowed it to happen.
So everybody from the GM down got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no players got it. No, and that's the other issue.
Even though what they're doing now is they have polls out now saying, should Altuve and Bregman, who were actually the starters of this, those are the two names that come up. Jose Altuve is the best second baseman in baseball right now.
Right.
He's not going to get it. No. I don't think the players – it's like this. Unfortunately, you know, there was a poll taken. They were asking the viewers, will you stop watching baseball? I think it was below 50% that said no.
No, exactly.
We're not going to quit watching. That's the main concern is that financial bottom line.
Right.
Second, the player. It's just like, do you think this is worse than Bounty Gate?
Well, Bounty Gate, they were deliberately trying to hurt people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think Bounty Gate's worse.
You think it's worse than Bounty Gate?
I think Bounty Gate's worse because injuries were the whole point.
Yeah, they got Brett Favre that year.
Yeah.
They got Kurt Warner that year.
Yeah, injuries were the point of that whole game. They were going out and trying to maim them. I mean, the only way you're trying to maim them is if you accidentally hit a guy with a fastball.
Yeah.
Or if you hit the ball and it takes the pitcher's head off. Right. You know, that's right. I mean, so I think, Bounty Gate was dead. It's going to take a lot to beat that.
Yeah.
In terms of
that was malicious.
Yeah, that was malicious. That's a good word for it.
Yeah, with this right here though, you know, the reason I say without the players because the players are not as expendable. You know, the owner, I mean not the owner, but the manager, it's expendable. Carlos Beltran unfortunately is expendable. You could replace him.
And that's what the Mets are going to have to do. I just feel a little sorry because he finally got a manager job.
Yeah, he
and
did.
And now he doesn't.
Man. And he's not going to probably get one for a while now.
No, he's not going to get one for a while.
He's not going to get one.
Exactly.
Oh, you don't think he's going to get one at all.
He's not with that on your resume.
Maybe not from baseball, man.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Is this worse than Pete Rose?
Ugh.
Well, Pete.
See, now we on this. Now we on that level.
Yeah. We're in that department because we got to look at, like, this is the integrity.
Pete Rose never bet against his team.
Right.
And that's the whole thing.
That would have been disgusting.
See, it's different. Yeah. It's different, for Joe Jackson in the 1990s. See, he's banned for eternity.
Well, and again, Joe Jackson, people are telling you, hey, Joe was never in on it. He never took a dime.
Right.
It was everybody else. But again, Joe didn't do it. What did Joe know, and when did he know it?
When did he know it? Right.
Yeah, even if Joe never did it, which I don't think he did.
And he wasn't the starter. No, he wasn't the guy who was. It was another player. I think it was Ed Sakati, who was the lead man into that.
Right.
Who actually put everybody in on the fix. He had like three or four players he added that was on the fix of that 1919 World Series.
So, and the only reason why they did it was because they were angry at the owner.
Yeah, Comiskey.
Comiskey was a penny pinching miser.
He sure was.
And they kept trying to get money out of him. He wasn't, so they said, "Fine, we'll get back at you this way.
Yeah, we'll do it this way."
But again, that's the big question. I mean, you look at the stats, and I don't think Joe's stats in that series were any.
They were incredible. Yeah. He had like 20 something hits in the series.
He was the only one.
And it was a best of 9-game series. So
right.
They had the opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not really fair to ban. I don't think Joe deserved that lifetime ban. He did excellent. There's no proof that he was a part of it.
Exactly.
But politics demands someone take the blame.
Right.
And it's going to be they're going to go as high up as they need to go, as long as it's not the owner.
Yeah.
Right.
And unfortunately for the Houston Astros, the GM got it on down. Everybody knew about it. The players knew.
Yeah, players knew, the managers knew, GM probably knew. And the thing is, if they didn't know, they should have known.
They need to be fired. If you didn't know, you need to be fired.
Right. Yep. You're getting fired either because you knew about it or because you've got your head so up your proverbial backside, you should have known about it.
Because we were talking, this is a big – the Astros is a billion-dollar franchise, am I correct? It's a billion-dollar company. Multi-million.
I don't know. I think we're still like Yankees, Cowboys. Yeah. They may be the only two B's.
But
they're getting up there. Everybody's getting up there.
But they're part of a billion-dollar conglomerate, which is the Major League Baseball.
Billion-dollar conglomerate here.
Yes.
So, therefore, it is up to the people up top to know everything that's going on.
Right.
I'm nothing short of micromanaging.
Yep.
What's going on to prevent their financial bottom line from being affected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. This is going to affect. I mean, I wonder what type. Are they going to drop? Are they going to SMU?
No, they're not going to SMU these guys. No, they're not. It'd be interesting to see what, if anything, are going to do. Yeah. Because basically, let's be honest, you're basically telling Houston, okay, all your players have suspensions. Well, who are you going to field? Are you going to bring up the Round Rock Astros for 2 months? I mean,
right.
That's going to affect Major League Baseball's bottom line, which is ratings. That's going to affect the ratings and businesses.
Only on national games that the Astros are a part of.
That can affect businesses around the area.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, because businesses around the area are affected by who comes to the gate.
Yes. So that's going to be huge. And also, the Houston Astros can go off and like, wait, hey, what did y'all do to the Patriots?
Well, that's – you're comparing,
Spygate.
You're comparing Spygate. Apples to oranges there.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
so different.
Spying.
Yeah.
It's a form of spying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
The Patriots use the camera too.
Yeah.
And they were spying against – this. Of all people, they got caught spying. They got caught.
Spying against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Caught spying against the Cincinnati Bengals, who are proverbial dumpster fire of a franchise. So if you're spying on the Bengals,
you're spying. Yeah,
you're definitely spying on the 49ers. You're definitely spying on your on the better teams.
Well, the problem is you may be spying, but it's not helping you with your defense. That's the thing.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
they knew what was coming. They couldn't do anything to stop it. So
at all.
So that's an issue right there. First. Is it really cheating if it doesn't work?
Is it cheating if you're losing?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It's only cheating if you win.
Yeah. Right. That's pretty much it. John Morgo here with Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Last three guys do a podcast. Just discussed Major League Baseball cheating scandal. What about the Conor McGregor fight? I assumed you guys watched that for all of 2 seconds.
Yeah.
For some reason, I saw this meme on Twitter. Cowboys don't do well in January.
Mm. oh man, he got Connor hit him with the field goal. He kicked him pretty good across the face, and it was. I mean, he didn't get hit that. Connor didn't get hit that much in that fight. I guess he came in with some type. I thought he was going to – I guess he felt he was going to overpower Connor by effectively attacking him. Connor hit him with the counters. Connor's just stronger and faster and ended it with a nice right – I wouldn't call it a roundhouse. It's like it was something crazy across his face.
See, I didn't see the knockout.
Oh, right. Man. Yeah, he hit him with something awful. And it was the kick heard around the country. It was over with, 40 seconds. All that hype for a 40-second fight. So does this – okay. So some people may complain about boxing as far as being too technical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as the 12-round dragouts,
yeah.
The lack of knockdown. You see this especially with your lighter fighters, the Floyds and et cetera, the middleweights and everything, the welterweights. But Mike Tyson got his cane to fame for making short opponents.
Fights, yeah.
So, would this be a positive or a negative for the MMA in a 40-second bout? Well anticipated 40-second. I mean, people like to see the home run now.
Yeah.
A lot of people were there. You got the Myles Garrett was there. Tom Brady was there. Y'all, it was a star-studded event.
Here's why I don't think it would be such a problem. You have to think about this, too, and this goes as far as boxing goes. We wait so long to see the main event because there's always, like, 3 or 4 undercards.
Right.
Right? And then you might have an undercard that's like, whoa, that's a damn good fight, So you might have that. By the time the main event comes on, it's 11:30 and people are yarning. Like, You know what I'm saying? People are yawning. They like, man.
So nice. You know. 40 seconds would be like a great shot of adrenaline to the spirit.
Especially if you are not a pay-per-view buyer. Mm. So to only those who have bought the fight to watch it, then, yeah, it would be like, oh, man, I spent my money on this. Versus everybody else who done went to a party and had a good time and sat at home and did this and did that. Oh, 40-second fight? Cool. Boom. I can go. You know, if I'm at home watching it.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to bed now.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a bit of a difference there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even with the fan base that's out there, with Myles Garrett and Tom Brady and all the stars that were there, right? They going to an after party.
Oh, yeah, indeed they are. With Connor.
With Connor. Yeah, yeah. Right. And then if you're just a regular local, if you're just a regular person, yeah, what a party at?
It's something to do.
Yeah, it's something to do. So, you know, it's a bit of a – it's more of a win than it is a lose situation.
Exactly, yeah. So where does Conor McGregor go from here?
Oh, he's got the rematch.
Yep.
Khabib.
Yeah,
that's what Dana White has come out and
yeah,
said.
Yeah, he's got to make up because he's been attacking everybody but UFC fighters. I mean, it felt good to finally see him actually fight another fighter. Because I mean, I've seen this man punch a old man for not accepting a beer in Ireland. He had the infamous bus chairs thrown at the buses. I mean. This man has made headlines for everything but UFC fighting over the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first fight since the Floyd Mayweather situation.
Right.
And, you know, it was refreshing to see Conor in his real element and actually kick some butt for a little while, you know.
It was.
For real, like, you know, that's the Conor we remember. You know, like the tattooed wild man, you know, who's, you know, for real. Because, I mean, we seen him get in a lot of trouble as of late.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, every time you turn around, is Conor, he did it again.
He did it again. Right.
Okay. So, yeah, for Conor to be in his natural element, I'm surprised that he's still fighting, though, to be honest with you, because I know his payday, he had that scene after taxes and fees were all said and done. He had the scene like nice nine figures.
Yes.
In that fight against Floyd. So, you know, I hope he's financially doing well. I mean, but because he clearly doesn't need to be doing this financially.
Right.
Set for life. It's just a matter of managing his finances this point, making sure he doesn't do anything stupid, so he has to keep doing this.
Right.
And that's kind of all the rage right now, and I, you know, wish him the best of luck in doing that here. As we talk about a lot of things going on, the last three guys do a podcast. Let's talk a little bit about, again, LSU, we didn't get a chance to talk about this because the game was Monday. LSU just smacked Clemson around.
Smacked them right on the backside.
Exactly.
No charges filed against LSU.
No. But
the story of it was Odell Beckham. OBJ found
out. What is Odell doing? First of all, he gives money to the players, and everyone's saying, oh, that's funny money. But no, Joe Burrow said, no, that's perfectly legal and tender. So,
and then everybody's getting on Joe Burrow for saying that.
Yeah, like, why would you come out and say that after the university put out a claim that, no, it was fake money?
Well, that's to protect the eligibility of all the players, but that's not an issue anymore because pretty much the entire team declared for the NFL draft.
Exactly.
So that is not an issue anymore.
I mean, Jamar Chase is coming back, who won the Biletnikoff Award, but that's because he's a sophomore.
Right, he can't go.
He can't go nowhere.
So, but he'll probably be suspended for that first game because of all that, or forced to give it back. And then Odell goes ahead and slaps the rear of a security guard in the locker room.
Yeah.
Although New Orleans has officially said they're going to drop the charges that and let him go. So OBJ, he must have been smoking some funny cigarettes before that during that game because, man, he did the cardinal sin because he took the spotlight off the team and onto himself.
Did you see the look on his face when he smacked the security guard on the backside though? Like, yeah, I mean they was all feeling it, and security guard. Yeah. I think I heard he was running around here like this, kind of like the security guard was acting a little disruptive in the locker room amongst the guys. Like he was asking them, "Hey, what's in your cigar? What are you guys drinking?" I mean, dude. You know what I mean? It kind of felt like Georgia players, you know, at one point in time in 2010, UGA led the NCAA in arrests.
Yeah, yep. They did.
And I'm like, are the security guards on
behind
campus?
Them was Florida.
Right.
Well, Steve Spurrier always said, I want to play Georgia at the start of the year because I know a couple of their guys will be suspended.
Oh, man. Yep. Yep. You know, and it's like, it was a joke, you know, with Chuck and Chernoff. You know, they made a joke talking about the security, the on-campus police must be working for, they must all be from Florida.
Right.
Because, yep. I mean, who's arresting these guys?
Well, Florida was getting in, and they're probably just working for South Carolina.
Before I get in on this clown, OBJ, I want to say something. I said this last week that I thought that they were going to score 50. I was off.
Yeah.
But they took a knee before they could even get a chance at doing that.
It got ugly.
It did. And it's all about adjustments. You know what I'm saying? And Clemson, while they hung in there and they hung in the game, LSU just made the adjustments. Mm-hmm. You know, they struggled on offense in the first quarter. But, man, once Joe gets going, I said that the play that kind of changed everything and actually tied the game up is the play from with Burrow to Chase. And A.J. Terrell was eaten up on that one-on-one. And the problem was that you couldn't double over the top because he has four receivers.
Yes.
That he can go to. Five when you count the running back, and then you count Thad Moss, who's also going to the draft.
Right.
So, I mean, when you count those guys, and Jordan Jefferson played his behind off, they had so many weapons around that you just couldn't help but play one-on-one on them. And Clemson's corners just had no answer, especially A.J. Terrell, who was one of the better cornerbacks in the nation. He was eating up the smithereens that night, man. I mean, I think three touchdowns were scored on him, and three different receivers got a touchdown on him. So that was a tough one.
You think that kind of jeopardized his draft stock?
He was already ranked the eighth best cornerback in the draft. So
he got cooked. I mean, he got cooked pretty
good. He did. He got cooked pretty good. But I don't think it does. I think he's still a second rounder. You know, I don't think he was ever a first round draft pick. He's not the best cornerback. That's Jeff Okuda.
Okay.
Yeah, from Ohio State. Right.
Those guys who score those touchdowns, who will see him in NFL. I mean, they're not going to let him live that down. He's going to. Oh my goodness, the 49ers are just making this thing real. Oh, they're celebrating. They're celebrating. Oh man, they're celebrating on them.
And Mike Shanahan is smiling right now.
It's not even the half yet.
Yeah,
it's getting real.
It's ugly. It's really ugly out there, man.
Okay, we're going to talk about it now. What does this do for Aaron Rodgers' legacy?
Nothing. He's up against. Nobody's going to beat that team. Nobody's going to beat that team. The other five teams that went to the playoffs this year in the NFC was not going to beat that San Francisco team.
Right.
What steered them was when they won the West by a half yard against Seattle.
Yeah.
That's what got them there. And that's what kind of elevated them a bit. Because their first loss was to Seattle at home. Mm-hmm. And they remembered that. So, I mean – that's what kind of jump-steered them, and then they had that week off. That's what they said, man. One of the players was like, man, the best thing was to have that week off because it's refreshing.
Recharge.
It's actually Hugh Douglas from 92.9 The Game who made that comment.
Yes.
He said, man, the best thing that could happen to a team when you get a one or a two is have that week off because you're going through 16 weeks. Yeah, you get a week off in the regular season, but it's nothing like having another week off in the NFL.
And you can get another week off.
Yeah, and then you get another week off, and now you recharge, you're refocused, you're refueled, you're this and you're that. And it's showing right now. They look like a whole different football team right now. And if this score holds, which I think it will, we're going to see a hell of a Super Bowl, guys.
Yep.
We really are. 49ers and Chiefs, that's going to be hard to – it's going to be hard to root against either one of those teams. But, man, it's going to be a great Super Bowl.
Exactly. It should be a great one down in Miami in a couple weeks there. Because with the Super Bowl coming on in our – here on the – great Super Bowl here in 2 weeks between the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm about ready to post something on Twitter at my account @John_Morgo. I just posted a picture of Andy Reid next to Wilford Brimley, and my gosh, they look exactly alike.
I thought Andy Reid looked a lot like Theodore Roosevelt.
He looks like him too.
Yeah.
He does. He looks like him too.
But But yeah, I just posted that photo, and that's why I keep saying, well, I look like Andy Reid's going to talk to us about his diabetes. Yeah. Anyway, we are the last three guys to do a podcast. We're getting close to the end here, but I want to just dive into a little bit of a topic for three or four minutes.
Okay.
And that is the Atlanta Hawks. They, boy, talk about another team that is not living up to our expectations. They are last in the East, a full game behind New York and two games behind Cleveland at the bottom. They've only got 10 wins. Boy, they had a great victory against San Antonio. First time beating them in San Antonio since 97. Trae Young continuing to do it all, but he's just one guy. John Collins out for a little bit. Now he's back, got to work himself into shape. But, man, we thought the Hawks were going to do very well this season, and barring a miracle comeback, they're not even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? I think the John Collins 25-game suspension, mm-hmm. I think they really hurt the rhythm of the team, because when Young had him in the lineup, it was go. But I did see something. When you put those five studs in, when you put Young, Reddish, Hunter, Collins, you put Collins at the five, and what's my man? What's the wing?
Jabari.
Ewart.
They did get Jeff Teague back.
They got him in the trade.
Yeah, the Hawks right now are
what they call him, the redhead? I can't remember his name. The shooter. He's a shooter on the Hawks team. Uter. Kevin Herter, or however you say his name.
Yeah, Leon's right.
Yeah, the young guy. When you have those five in, they can be tough to stop. So what I'm seeing what Lloyd Pierce is doing is he's trying to shuffle that starting lineup to see what will work for him, mm-hmm. you know, and what would work for the team, you know, which is fine. But, yeah, I mean, you know what? You're right. I mean, it's a tough thing to see Atlanta only win 10 games, and as talented as they are, and as, I guess you can say, as weak as the bottom half of the East would be. I'm talking about from maybe six on down. You would have thought that the Hawks could get at least that eighth seed, but – you know, I mean, but then we also had surprises too. Like, who would have thought that Miami would jump off into a start like they did? You know,
But the Bucks are just in a class by themselves. Yeah. They're eight games ahead, and right now the Hawks are about nine games out of that eighth spot.
They don't have the worst record in the NBA, do they?
They have the fewest amount of wins in the NBA.
Gotcha.
Golden State is a half game worse.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe.
Golden State's got one more loss. Equal number of wins,
but that's because
they've taken a season
them
off.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think. I mean, boy, Golden State was. I didn't think anybody realized that Steph Curry mattered that much. He should get MVP.
Yeah. And Klay Thompson.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's like the core of their attack. They've just been. It's like you got guns on both sides. You've been now. You're in a gunfight. You're bringing a knife.
Yep.
You're just bringing Draymond Green. But, you know, if you look at the Hawks roster, Evan Turner, he mm-hmm. couldn't step up. Cam Reddish couldn't step up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cam has struggled this year. Yeah.
Shannon Parsons.
Oh, he's a rookie.
Yeah, right.
We can't have everyone play as a rookie like Trae Young did.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, I think everyone in
Chandler Parsons couldn't step up.
And we are definitely part of that. Just it really put a lot of pressure on them. But what I think is kind of interesting, guys, is that even with all that, how come it's not really a big deal in the Atlanta media that the team is this underachieving? Because I really haven't seen anything saying, oh, we're
– Me neither.
Yeah.
I mean, football's a part of it. But
John Collins going down kind of
– It died it down, right? This is what I'm saying. When he was suspended, them 25 games, remember the Hawks were, before then they was like, 6-4? I mean, it was a young season, so that means they were in striking distance. They looked like they were going to do some things, right?
Right.
And then when he got suspended, I mean, we saw a stretch where they was like, I think it was like 5-20 without him. And so that was tough. That was tough. They needed John Collins in that stretch, and that's the difference. It's equivalent to – The Golden State Warriors will be a contending team as long as Curry and Thompson are in there. And if those two are not there for however many games in the season, then you have really nothing. And D'Angelo Russell is over there.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're keeping him. All the rest of the guys, man, you know, I think their center is going to come back. Colley Stein?
Mm-hmm.
They'll bring him back.
And another thing, I mean, the only good thing that's really coming out of Atlanta right now is that Trae Young will probably be an All-Star.
Yes. Absolutely. And a lot of people saying, should he be an All-Star?
Yeah, well, I think he should. I think he's putting up the numbers.
Yeah. You know? Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, and he's an attraction.
Yeah, his letters.
Like Luka Doncic. He's an attraction.
His W's and L's may be a little lopsided, right, but his numbers are not.
No.
And they're going to announce the starters for the All-Star game Thursday. Can y'all believe that? It's already All-Star season.
Well, man, that's because we are halfway through the regular season. The halfway point was hit just a couple days ago, as a matter of fact. Well, we're closing in on the end here. The last three guys do a podcast, John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. And, guys, the streak is over. Vanderbilt's streak of 1,080 games made with a three-pointer ended ignominiously last night in a 66-45 loss at the hands of the Tennessee Volunteers. They went 0-25 from beyond the arc, and they did have one three-pointer made, but it was waved off because it was shot milliseconds after the shot clock had expired. Every game since the three-point line was introduced way back in the day, Vanderbilt had made a three-pointer. Now, there are now only two that have made one in every game. That would be Princeton and UNLV. So another negative thing for the Vanderbilt basketball team. They lost all SEC games last year, and they're in the process of doing it again this year. 2 years in a row, their best player hurt and will miss the entire season. This time it's going to be Aaron Naismith, who had 28 points a game. That was tops in the SEC. Mm-hmm. But he's gone with a stress fracture. And once again, Vanderbilt is going to be a laughingstock in the SEC basketball. But the good news is college baseball season starts in 4 weeks, and the Commodores will have a chance to go back-to-back on their NCAA title win. So my things you might have missed, very short, very sweet. I just felt like I had to bring that to everyone's attention.
Yeah.
So who's
next? I'm about to speak about Lakers. lining up exactly what I'm going to be speaking about real quick. But it goes to the fact that people within Laker Nation were complaining about the fact that we lost to the Orlando Magic a couple nights ago.
Okay.
You know, and I had to channel my inner Aaron Rodgers. If you guys remember what I'm talking about, I believe it was maybe 3 years ago, the Packers had a bit of a slow start, and Aaron Rodgers delivered the now classic quote, "Relax, we're gonna be all right, just relax."
Well, not tonight, obviously.
Oh no, no, but at least they got there. They got to this point. You know, it's been a little while since since they've been to the NFC Championship, I believe. You know, but it happens. But I mean, to get beat down this fashion, what's going to happen like that? But the point I'm trying to make in reference to the Lakers is that the Lakers have come to the conclusion, based on very hard evidence, that we are head and shoulders better than a lot of teams in this league right about the minute.
Right.
It's just obvious. To the point where, even with Anthony Davis out with a gluteus maximus disruption, if you want to call it that, he needs to hit the weight room a little more, because that should have been avoided. When he went off and you're playing defense against Julius Randle, and he pretty much goes through AD and causes AD to land rather awkward on his tailbone.
Right.
He needs to be. We need AD in the weight room. That shouldn't be happening. But the point I'm trying to make is that in that loss to Orlando Magic, that the Lakers, we lose about once a month. Being sarcastic here. It was 62 bench points scored during the whole game, which is more than we thought. At first, the Lakers were like, we're top heavy. We need to make a trade. You had people like, I wanted Quinn Cook, 18 points, clutch threes. We had like five players in like double figures, five or six players in double figures. Last night in our very huge W against the Houston Rockets, it was five players who scored more than 20 points, and Anthony Davis was not in the game. That's what we are playing for.
Yeah.
We're playing for – this is chess, not checkers, in the words of Alonzo from Training Day, played by Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
For real. We've came to the conclusion that we will take – barring some catastrophic that I hope doesn't happen, we will take the number one seed. We need to go off and we need to make sure that we come with a very credible rotation. We're not going to be coming with no seven-man rotation. We want to come with like 10 or 11 deep. And we have DeMarcus Cousins coming back in March.
Right.
We're going to have to work him into the fold, and we will work him into the fold. Because to build on my own point,
right?
Dwight Howard, who is averaging about 22 minutes a game, him and JaVale McGee, they're splitting it up pretty much. 21-15 against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
No AD.
Uh-huh.
On purpose. If AD wanted to play, he was seen in Green Bay. He was doing good, you know, having a couple of drinks and everything. He's all right.
Right.
But we're just experimenting right now. We're trying to make happen. So for those people who are in Laker Nation, in the words of Aaron Rodgers, we're going to lose a game or so.
Exactly.
Yeah. It happens. It's 82-game season.
82-game season.
Even though the 86 Bulls lost some.
Yeah.
You know how long we've been – you know last time we've been to the playoffs? 6 years.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It is refreshing to see the Lakers back in the postseason.
And we're sitting here behaving like it's 2010 all over again.
Right.
Come on now. Let's not act brand new now. It's been a long time coming. So that's my take.
Okay.
All right. So – got an essay for you guys.
All right.
Essay. My first essay of 2020, first essay of the decade, rather. This one is called Possibility and Actuality. It was the college football 2019-2020 season. Now, as the 2019-2020 college football season came to a close last Monday night with an LSU 42-25 win over Clemson, I thought I'd do what some sports writers would do and revisit my documented predictions. Before the start of the season, I predicted Heisman winners, national semifinalists, conference champs, etc. And in this essay, I will give you the possibilities, my predictions, and the actualities, the actual reality of this season. This should be fun. Now, earlier, I put down a non-conference matchup that I would like to see, or that we would like to see. The possibility was Reinhardt at Kennesaw State. The actuality, well, Reinhardt at Kennesaw State. Here's why this still holds as fact. Although we knew that the Owls would be the favorites, that's the same size of about three football fields.
Yes.
This was the game that could give great exposure to both teams.
Mm-hmm.
For the three of us, the last three guys to do a podcast, not only was it the first season of the three of us calling football games together.
Right.
Of course, John and I have been calling games for nearly a decade.
Yes.
But what was also neat, it was also an ESPN broadcast. We were on Reinhardt Radio, but we had instant replay.
Absolutely.
Billy Hall's touchdown run was challenged, and we got to break it down. Excuse my enthusiasm.
Yeah, because the ESPN broadcast booth was right – the replay booth was right next door to us. I was kind of looking in the window underneath the blinds.
Exactly.
John was like
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. John saw it out of his ear. That's right. My surprise team, the possibility was USC. But in actuality, the surprise team was Appalachian State. I think the even bigger surprise to some is that USC head coach Clay Helton was able to remain head coach for another year.
Right.
They went 7-2 in the Pac-12, one game behind Utah, but they were 1-3 in non-conference play. But App State finally showed us why they belong here in FBS play. They finished 13-1, won the Sun Belt title, and finished the season with a 31-17 New Orleans Bowl victory over UAB and finished 19th in the final AP polls. Although they had road victories over North and South Carolina this year, they have a real tough test coming in the fall of this year, coming up September 19th at Wisconsin.
Mm.
Yeah. My Heisman winner, if you guys recall from that episode, my Heisman winner was Justin Fields. But in actuality, it was Joe Burrow. Now, Fields was close. Very close.
Yes.
His 40 touchdowns and just one interception entering the bowl season was one of two reasons why Ohio State was in the playoff. Chase Young was the other. But Joe Burrow had a season that not only earned him the trophy and a national title, but changed the landscape of that LSU program. Known to be a hard-nosed running team, this offense spread the field in ways I don't think we've ever seen at this level. Fields will be back in New York next year. But Burrow will go to the Bengals or Carolina or whomever ends up with the number one pick.
Yeah.
Group of five team that would be in the New Year's Six, I said Boise State. But actually, it was Memphis. Now, Boise State, Navy, Appalachian State all made this a tough race, but it was Memphis who finished with as the highest out of the group of five at 15. They'll get the nod here. Mike Norvell led this group to a 12-2 record and won the American Conference. Despite losing to Penn State in the Cotton Bowl, this season actually got Norvell attention. He will now be the head coach at Florida State, hoping to turn their fortune around. Come on, Mike. Come on, baby. The possibility in the ACC title was Clemson over Virginia. The actuality was Clemson over Virginia.
Yes.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Clemson was the overpowering force of a weak ACC conference. Since they have to have a championship game, they needed an opponent, Virginia.
Exactly.
They beat them soundly and won the conference, as predicted. Possibility in the Big Ten was Ohio State over Minnesota. The actuality was Ohio State over Wisconsin. I missed this pick because Wisconsin went on the road and scored an impressive 38-17 win to clinch the Big Ten West over the Golden Gophers. But they met Ohio State, whom defeated the Badgers 34-21. Big 12, possibility, Oklahoma over Texas. The actuality was Oklahoma over Baylor. Texas faltered after losing to LSU earlier in the season, but Oklahoma and Baylor had two memorable games against each other. The legend of Jalen Hurts was sketched with two impressive performances. The comeback win at Baylor on November 16th and the OT win versus Baylor to win the Big 12 championship, securing the final college football playoff spot. Matt Rhule has completely steered this program into the right direction, but he leaves the collegiate level and heads to the Carolina Panthers to become their head coach. The Pac-12. All right, guys, this is where I really missed.
I don't blame you. No one can figure that
Nobody
out.
Nobody can figure out this conglomerate, right? The possibility was Washington over USC.
Yeah.
But actually, it was Oregon over Utah. Swing and a miss for me, but also a shutout for the Pac-12.
Exactly.
If Utah wins the conference, then we don't talk about the Pac-12 being shut out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they were flat against an inspired Oregon team that went on to defeat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. The question is, how will the Pac-12 look next year? And will there be any contenders going to the playoffs? We'll have to see. Possibility was Alabama over Georgia. The actuality was LSU over Georgia.
Right.
Florida was in strong contention for the SEC East, but Florida was better. Florida was in the contention of the SEC East, but Georgia was better. And again, LSU was just too damn good on offense. No team, not even mighty Alabama, had an answer for that offensive juggernaut they displayed this year. LSU would beat Alabama 46-41 and demolish Georgia and Atlanta for the SEC crown 37-10. Now the college football playoff. I originally had Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan.
You got one right.
But it was LSU.
No, two right.
I had two right.
Yeah.
LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma. Clemson, Ohio State, yes. Alabama, Michigan, no. But it's ironic because Alabama beat Michigan in, I think it was the Orange Bowl or the Citrus. Was it the Orange Bowl?
I think it was the Orange Bowl.
It was the Orange Bowl. Clemson and Ohio State played in one of the best playoff games you would ever see. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, thanks for coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Burrow had seven touchdowns before you can even bleep. Setting up the possibility, Alabama over Clemson. The actuality, LSU over Clemson. Setting up the most anticipated national title games to date. The defending champs versus the best offense we've seen. For a half, we weren't disappointed until LSU figured some things out and got rolling. LSU's 42-25 win capped off a great season for the Tigers. A great season of college football and much anticipation for next year. Oh, and by the way, the season premiere of College Game Day will be in Dublin, Ireland, week zero for Notre Dame and Navy.
Yeah,
bye, college football, for now.
Yeah, college football week zero, August 29th. We need a college football season week -1.
Yeah.
On August 22nd. That's what we need.
Bad.
That's what we need. And hopefully we had it last year when Miami and Florida got moved. We'll see if the powers that be do it again for this season. Well, that's going to wrap us up here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. This is for Daniel's son.
Yeah, man. Shout out to him. Shout out to Caleb Dennis, man. He had his first fight First amateur fight this weekend up in Athens, Georgia, man. Shout out to him and the team. Shout out to Pro Combat, to PTC Combat Fitness. We had three others from the gym. They had a fight. It was great. Shout out to Issa Smith, his coach. It was an outstanding experience. Although he didn't get the win, but he had fun. So that was a good thing. Very impressive.
What's his weight class?
I'm proud of him.
Weight class. What's his weight class?
Huh?
Weight class. What's his weight class?
Oh, welterweight. Welterweight. Okay. Yeah. Oh. I think it's 151, right? Yeah. Something in that
area. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be sure to monitor his progress. And we got to fly now. But we'll be back in 1 week to talk about more things going on in sports here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. So for everyone involved, thank you so much. Hope you have a good week. And thanks for watching and listening here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast.